things that are pissing me off. And boy, is there a lot of stuff that is pissing me off. Although I always like to think, knock on wood, I remain smiley and happy because life is a playground, because life is magisterial. So we always have to smile. All right. First thing that's pissing me off. I don't know if some of you guys watched 60 Minutes this week, where there was a misinformation researcher. Misinformation researcher. I mean, imagine in the 21st century having someone who seriously states that there is such a thing as a misinformation czar. Okay, so let me ask you this. If I say that men cannot menstruate, is that misinformation, disinformation, or is it veridical? If I say that Israel is committing a daily genocide on the noble Palestinians, is that misinformation, disinformation, or is it veridical? If I say that, oh, let me look here. I don't know, does anybody know who Ignaz Semmelweis is? Maybe some of you medically minded people might know who he is. He was a physician, Ignaz, I'm going to pronounce his name, Semmelweis. He was a Hungarian physician who noticed that many, many people, many women were dying during childbirth. I can't remember what was the condition, but you know, something would happen and very quickly they would have this ravaging infection and they would die. And so he realized that it could very much likely be due to the fact that the doctors, the surgeons who would go from working on cadavers, you know, in forensic pathology, without washing their hands, and then they would rush with all of the germs and viruses and pathogens on their hands to then deliver a child. And then he kept saying that's how the transmission was happening, and the physicians needed to wash their hands. He was laughed out of medicine. He died destitute. And then, of course, today we say, oops, he was right. Okay. So now imagine if at the time you simply went and said, this is misinformation. Well, I mean, which they did. They didn't use those words, but they said he's a quack. As a matter of fact, when you win a Nobel Prize, you usually will have a history of that research having been very contentious. So that one of the ways you know you're on your way to a Nobel Prize is if it is paradigm busting, if it is very, very contrary to the accepted orthodoxy. And so therefore, by definition, those Nobel Prize-winning discoveries would have been labeled as misinformation or disinformation until the evidence finally was so clear that it was in favor of this, quote, misinformation that it won the day, right? I mean, think about all the stuff that we now know from COVID, right? Masks work. Well, oh, no, they don't. Oh, many people, I just had one, right? I just had Martin Kulldorff, one of the three co-authors of the Great Barrington Declaration, who was on my show just last week, who's just been fired from Harvard University because he was saying, among other epidemiologists, that natural inoculation, meaning if you have had COVID, will give you greater protection than the vaccine. Kind of a standard accepted fact in virology. Well, guess what? He proved to be correct, but they wanted to get, you know, they did get rid of him. So it was, quote, misinformation, disinformation. So the fact that in the 21st century, we are seriously concerned. I mean, do you remember when you had the Biden administration? They were putting out this this imbecile of a woman who was going to be the disinformation czar. I mean, that's stuff that you expect in North Korea. It's stuff that you expect in pre-Enlightenment and pre-scientific revolution. It's stuff that you expect in Mao Zedong's cultural revolution. It's stuff that you expect with Stalin, with Lysenkoism. It's not stuff that you expect in the 21st century in a so-called enlightened world. There is no such thing as misinformation and disinformation. Now, that doesn't mean that there aren't falsehoods, right? Holocaust deniers get up and say, hey, the Holocaust never happened. Okay, that's false. So it's not that there is no such thing as truth and falsehood. But when it comes to the realm of science and of public debates, the only way you navigate through that process is through the scientific method, through debate, through the autocorrective process of the scientific method. So the second that you say disinformation and misinformation, you're a clown, you're a fascist, you're anti-science. The second that you say settled science, you're a clown, you're a fascist, you're anti-science. Okay? There is no such thing as settled science. If tomorrow there were to be evidence that suggests that evolution as the mechanism by which speciation occurs is false, then we'd have to accept that. That's what it means to be epistemically humble. Science doesn't operate in revealed truths. Utter cretins, imbeciles. I'm talking about things that are pissing me off. So that's number one. Misinformation, disinformation, get rid of it. You're pissing me off. Number two, the Moscow attack was conducted by the Yehud, the Jews, Mossad, IDF, the Zionists. So the guys' names, with some Tajikistan, you know, you add an OV, their names is Muhammad Ahmadov and Muhammad Husseinov Ahmadov, okay, and Ali Hussein Muhammadov. But that's false. That's not true. Who's the real puppeteers behind this? It's the Jews. Did you know that al-Baghdadi, the leader of the founder of ISIS, who had a PhD in Islamic studies, was really, you know, Mordechai Rubinstein? You didn't know that, did you? Did you know that Osama bin Laden, the architect of 9/11, is actually David Ben Israel? This is the stuff that I see all day long on the internet. These people are your the teachers of your kids. They're your gardener. They're your neighbor. Every single thing that happens, including if it's the guys are coming out of a mosque, they are intercepted in a telegram speaking to the imam. If they tell you their names are Ahmad Muhammadov, if they tell you they did it for whatever reason, Islamic, all that proves is that the Jews did it. So there is no amount of information that those folks can ever receive that makes them anchor away from their position. It's the Jews who did it. If I list 9,000 terror attacks that are from Islamic sources, this only proves that it's the Jews that did it. Because ISIS is Mossad, because Boko Haram is out of Haifa, because Al-Nusra Brigade is really the Rubinstein Brigade, and it goes on and on. It's the highest form of orgiastic Jew hatred. An honest person, like, for example, I saw earlier some clips with Rabbi Shmuley. I don't know if some of you have seen this guy. I don't know much about him, but I saw him now in his battle with Candace Owens, whom I'm not a big fan of, by the way. But anyways, although she has been on my show. But anyways, that's besides the point. And he just seemed grotesque. He seemed like he, you know, his delivery, the structure of his arguments, his antics, were not really good ones. I didn't say, oh, he's not really a rabbi. No, no, he's not really a Jew. No, no, it can't be, because Judaism doesn't allow you to act like a clown. Rabbi Shmuley is really Muhammad Ahmad. He's a fake Jew, right? I mean, I'm strong enough in my identity that it doesn't attack my sense of self-worth by accepting the fact that there are nice Jews and bad Jews. There are clown Jews and Nobel Prize winning Jews. So an honest person, an honest interlocutor would say, hey, there are nice Muslims, there are mean Muslims, but hey, when it came to the 44,000 plus terror attacks since 9/11 alone in 70 countries that were done by Islamic terrorists, I don't just say no. Every single one of those terror attacks is proof that Zionism is the real culprit. Imagine how much you've lost your sense of dignity when it doesn't matter what evidence I show. Actually, the Nazis were really Jews. Hitler was really a Jew. It was just a Jew who was pretending to be a Nazi, because then that would accelerate the founding of the modern state, modern day Israel. By the way, some people do say that. So, first thing pisses me off, misinformation, disinformation. Second thing that pisses me off, the Moscow attack was really orchestrated by the Mossad. Third thing that pisses me off, not to the same extent, but it's kind of a visceral aesthetic repulsion. Jimmy Kimmel, Jimmy Fallon, and Stephen Colbert. Let me tell you things that are funnier than these three clowns. Ebola is funnier. Epstein-Barr virus is funnier. Sleeping disease, or no, river blindness disease is funnier. Herpes is funnier. Chlamydia is funnier. Gonorrhea is funnier. Stephen Colbert, when he used to be the sidekick of another schmuck, oh, Jewish schmuck, Jon Stewart. Oh, no, he can't be a Jewish schmuck, because I can't criticize a Jew. Jon Stewart, his real name is Ahmed Muhammad. He's really pretending to be a Jew. So when Stephen Colbert used to be the sidekick of schmuck Stewart, he was funny. He used to have this over-the-top, exaggerated caricature of the, you know, conservative guy. You know, there was an irreverence about him. There was a spiciness about him. And then he had his own show. And then he was ideologically raptured. And so now when you watch him, it's impossible to watch it. It is akin to listening to the Beatles. I mean, imagine something as grotesque, something as vile as the Beatles, something as despicable as U2, right? I mean, I hear U2, and at that moment, I'm seriously weighing whether it's worth continuing to listen for those 4 minutes or just end my life, because that might be, you know, an escape from having to listen to Bono screaming and shilling and talking down to us, you know, despicable, while he, you know, does all the tax shelters of his money, but give some more of your money, you know, for Africa. Anyways, so why do these guys piss me off? Because what's so beautiful about comedy? Comedy allows us to take realities and exaggerate them. Why does my humor and my satire and my sarcasm work so well? Because I look for the boundary condition of a certain position. I satirize it at that boundary condition. And it's funny, because you're mocking some crazy thing. You could mock sex differences. You can mock stereotypical racial differences. That's what makes it fun. That's what makes it irreverent. It's meant to be courageous. It's meant to test the lines. That's what a comedian does. But imagine if these three idiots, Fallon, who's just this like sycophantic, castrated ladyboy. I mean, it's unbearable. How does this guy have sex? He's a lady. Anyways, So you've got Jimmy Fallon. You've got Jimmy Kimmel. I mean, that guy is a creep, a real creep. And then you've got this, you know, Stephen Colbert. You know what's dumber than an imbecile? Donald Trump. Ha ha, so funny, right? So these guys piss me off. It pisses me off that they make more per year than many of us will make in a lifetime, but they're not adding anything. You know, when you listen, when you watch Dave Chappelle, notwithstanding some of his political positions, when you listen to Dave Chappelle, that guy is sharp. He's smart. He's irreverent. You listen to him, the cadence with which he delivers something, the way he pauses before he delivers the punchline, his movement, his accent, the whole thing. He's funny. So I can understand why he makes the money that he makes, because most people couldn't get up in front of a live audience and do the things that Dave Chappelle does. He's an incredible storyteller. He's got you gripped. You're holding, you're holding your breath to hear his punchline. These three idiots don't. So that's number three. That's pissing me off. And number four, before I then leave you, my dear listeners, and head off to pick up my daughter, Trump versus Biden. Okay, I mean, this is something that's been pissing me off all along. And by the way, it pisses me off not because I have a dog in the fight, because as I keep reminding people, I'm Canadian. I'm not going to vote in this election. But I look at someone like Trump. Okay, he's achieved things in his life. You may not like him. He's a womanizer. He's done it. By the way, so has Biden. And you may say, oh, well, you know, he couldn't have ever been successful in his career if he wasn't a crooked guy. I'm talking about Trump. Well, no one has been as crooked politically than avocado brain Biden. No one. It's impossible. I mean, the kind of corruption that Biden and his family have engaged in would make any third world banana republic dictator, you know, green with envy. It is impossible to imagine that level of corruption in the United States. Now, he, meaning Biden, is a true parasite in that he got into the Senate in his political career. I think it was around the time of Lincoln. I think he came into the Senate in 1861. So he's probably been a senator and a politician for about 150 years. Never achieved anything. Donald Trump achieved things. He has been a builder. He has been a real estate mogul. He has had casinos. He has had a top-rated show, right? He's done things. You like him, you don't like him, that's immaterial. He's achieved things. His professional CV has meat on it. Joe Biden's achieved nothing. Now, Joe Biden, I'm not trying to make fun of his lack of cognitive acuity. Joe Biden, if you showed him a pair of glasses or his wife, and simply gave him the following cognitive test. Which of these two objects, his actual wife or glasses, a pair of eyeglasses, which one are you married to? It would be a toss of a coin to know which one he's going to answer. His cognitive acuity is that of a toaster. So never mind his policies, right? I mean, his policies are abysmal. By the way, I know tons of people who on all of the issues are completely with Trump, but yet they hate him. He's disgusting. He's repulsive, which, as I explained in The Parasitic Mind, is exactly what happens when the emotional system hijacks the cognitive system, right? The disgust response towards Trump is an emotional-based system. Right? You're not saying, I don't want to vote for Trump because I don't support his immigration and fiscal policies. You're saying he's vile. He's disgusting. Right? That's what, look, I'm going to speak now with a progressive lisp. This is what Sam Harris believes. Right? Sam Harris, progressive lisp Sam Harris, even though objectively he might actually agree with many of the Trump positions, he can't stomach him because Trump is an aesthetic injury to the progressive anointed class. So you've got all these idiots walking around, all of whom are perfectly happy if you simply ask them, hey, do you believe that there should be the sanctity of borders of a nation? They say, yeah, of course. So then you say, so who has been better in terms of the border, Trump or Biden? Their head explodes because they can't concede that Trump might have better policies on things that matter to them. And so when I see right now the kind of attacks that Trump withstands on a daily basis, I mean, if you were a 35-year-old Herculean person, you would think that you would wilt at so many attacks. And yet this guy is the ultimate Teflon king. He never wilts away. He comes back harder. So if you want to be dealing with nasty dictators around the world is a very, very dangerous place with very, very dangerous and nasty neighborhoods. Do you think that Joe Biden represents and exudes strength? Don't mess with us. Do you think that the Russians and the Islamists and the North Koreans and the Chinese are saying, oh God, please don't let Joe Biden win again, because we would be so afraid of his diversity, inclusion, and equity that he's incorporating in for the Navy SEALs? We really would be scared of the non-binary pilots who are now running our Air Force. Okay? Ideas matter. You don't like Donald Trump because you don't like his personality? Well, by the way, I think that Joe Biden is infinitely more grotesque in terms of his basal corruption than Trump. Trump is just the typical kind of, jock. I mean, I'm using a stereotype, you know, who's vulgar with the ladies, who speaks with kind of a cantankerous, queen's affectations, you know, who doesn't speak with the progressive lisp, right? But his policies are certainly a lot more aligned with traditional American values. So to all of the Americans who are listening to the show, I don't know how many came to this impromptu thing. Remember, I need to do a better job at promoting these things. I just turn on my mic and I'm off and running. So I don't know if 500 showed up or 5,000. But in any case, if you're a never Trumper, well, then there's nothing for me to tell you. By the way, some of you know that I was recently, this came up in my recent chat with Elon Musk. Some of you, where we talked about, I was asked recently on a British show by a British psychiatrist, what is the singular thing that has most surprised you about human nature? And I paused for a minute and I said, the inability for people to change their minds once they are anchored in a position, right? I could show them all the evidence in the world. Nothing can change their opinions, right? It was really Mossad who did 9/11, right? There's nothing that can sway you away from the fact that it was really the Jews. Hey, how come there were no Jews in 9/11? It's the Jews who did it. Oh, by the way, I don't think any of the people who disappeared, and my heart goes out to them and their family who disappeared in the crash of that boat in Baltimore. If it turns out that none of the six, if there were no Jewish people who disappeared, then doesn't that suggest that it was probably Mossad who did this? The ship was a Mossad ship. Because how could it be that not a single individual who disappeared in the river is Jewish? So it must have been an inside job by the Mossad. That's the level of idiocy that we see. So the reason I'm saying all this is because if you're a never Trumper, there's no amount of evidence that I could ever share with you. There's no persuasion strategy. There's no nomological network of cumulative evidence that I could ever build you that will convince you that it would be in the best interest of the United States for you to vote for Trump. And by the way, again, I'm Canadian. I don't have a dog in the fight. I don't care. I'm not on Trump's payroll. I just call it as I see it. There is no rational means by which anybody who believes in science, who believes in the fact that there are two sexes, two phenotypes called male and female, who believes that men cannot menstruate, who believes that there is such a thing as the scientific method, who does not believe in postmodernism, who believes that borders should be closed, who believes in legal immigration, who believes that there should be causes and effects for criminals when they commit a crime. They should be punished for that crime. And I could go on and on. None of those positions are positions that are espoused by Joe Biden and his progressive imbeciles. And so if you are truly a traditional American who loves the wonderful and anomalous experience called America, you can't be voting for avocado brain Joe Biden. Kamala Harris, by the way, went to high school, probably a 10-minute drive from where I'm speaking to you now. She went to Westmount High School in Montreal. Kamala Harris is substantially dumber than any undergraduate student that I've ever taught in my 30-year career. This is a statement that I've made about Justin Trudeau. Well, it's unclear to me whether Justin Trudeau or Kamala Harris is dumber. She's empty. She's vacuous. She's platitudinous, right? She can't formulate a sentence. She has no knowledge. The reason why she cackles is because she considers cackling part of the Socratic method. If I cackle louder, maybe that could be construed as a great speech. She does that because she's so nervous when she has to take the microphone that it's a defensive reflex. You cackle like an idiot, like the lobotomized fool that you are. So no serious person could think that Biden and Harris are better for the United States on any possible dimension, unless your ultimate goal is to create a more diverse, inclusive, and equitable military. In that case, then Biden is definitely your guy. All right, guys, that's my rant for the day. Maybe I should do one of these every week. Things that are pissing off Dr. Goodlooks every Tuesday. By the way, I just had a chat with Rob Henderson on my show. He's a guy who recently finished his PhD in psychology at Cambridge. He wrote a book called Troubled, where he talks about the very, very difficult childhood that he faced from one foster home to another. And yet he came out, got an undergraduate degree after going to the Air Force, and then went on to get a PhD at Cambridge University. He now has a very successful Substack, column. He's got a best-selling book, and he came from a very, very difficult childhood. So sometimes you face these great stressors in your life, but they end up making you, paradoxically speaking, that much stronger. So you might want to go check out our chat. It's my most recent chat on my channel. If you appreciate my content, please consider subscribing to my exclusive content. I usually post things like book recommendations. I post links to classic academic papers, and I explain why I like those papers. I will often have Q&A periods only reserved for subscribers. I will sometimes post exclusive content at the end of my chats with guests. I will ask one or two questions that are only posted to the subscribers. There are all sorts of reasons. It costs the equivalent of a latte or a cappuccino. And so if you want to support my content, that's certainly one way you can do it. Guys, thank you so much for just showing up in this impromptu manner. I hope you enjoyed it. Remember the four things that pissed me off today: misinformation, disinformation, the Moscow attack is really the Yahood who did it, the three idiots on late night, Jimmy Fallon, Jimmy Kimmel, and Stephen Castrated Colbert, and then the decision between Trump and Biden, which should be a non-decision. Have a great evening, everybody. Love to all. Talk to you soon. Cheers.